Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and McKenna, are back. And today we are continuing the road to 50. The Survivor Devil, episode 13, 12, 11, something from season 35. Episode 12.
Episode
35. Final six episode. Ben Baum gets dropped. Chrissy gets mad at the Ben Baum. Devin doesn't think Ben's going to play his idol. Ben plays his idol before the votes are read. And ultimately, Ashley goes home. Obviously, Chrissy, the only one who's on 50, who's in this episode. But I rewatching this one, I like Heroes, Healers, Hustlers a lot more than most people. I remember talking about this when we were watching it live. Obviously, my hot take is that the Heroes, Healers, Hustlers finale is the best finale in the history of the show. And I remember watching this one live, and I was like, no, I kind of like this. Like, I like the randomness. I like that it's all over. And I know so many people were mad because Ben does go with, you know, idol, or immunities in there somewhere, and then and then there's a fire and all that. I get why people get frustrated, but I really, really, really enjoyed this season. I think it's a lot of fun. A lot of different styles of gameplay. And I think it was all on display here. And it's funny coming off of South Pacific where it was so alliance driven. Mm-hmm. This episode where this is the episode of Survivor 35 where everything is shifting coming off of the Lauren Rimmer boot in a 6-1 fashion because of an idol play. So she goes home 1-0, least amount of votes to go home in Survivor history at that point. At least getting one vote when a vote actually happened because poor Suri feels. But I like this episode a lot. And I still say, and I know a lot of people hate me for this. And, you know, Chrissy, if you're listening, I'm very excited you're back. But I still feel like, you know, as you watch the end game of 35, you see why Ben wins and Chrissy loses. I don't really care what anybody says. I feel like it's so easy to see. I feel like this episode shows the strengths and weaknesses of Chrissy's game in a way that South Pacific felt like it wasn't really showing any strengths for Coach and Ozzy.
I just watched the Mike Bloom interview with Chrissy today, and she explained it that everyone was so much younger than her that her social game wasn't as there because everyone was decades younger than her. As she said, I'm not aging her. And now going into 50, she has people her age to talk to relate to, people going through things. Like, she can't talk to Ryan about, so when my kids, and it's like, oh, Ryan's like, I am your kids. And like, that's not something to relate on. And that's not common ground. So I could see why she lost HHH with the social game that she had, because they weren't her age as she was trying to connect. Nobody was asking her like, oh, what do you think, Chrissy? Chrissy was always asking them questions and nobody was like asking her questions either.
Sure. But I also think that Chrissy has a bite to her. She's got that North Jersey, New York bite to her that comes out. Look, I talk about it a lot now because we're into San Juan del Sur for the Patreon. You know, Natalie Anderson only wins San Juan del Sur because it's a blood versus water season. Like Natalie Anderson, we've been talking about it with the traders. She doesn't actually read people that well. She hasn't on any of the shows she's been on, but blood versus water, it was easier for her because she's able to play with pairs and see where people are going. And she can take a little bit more control or at least be able to read people better because they're working in tandem with each other rather than solo. And I do feel like, you know, same part of the country that they're from. I'm from New Jersey originally, so I know this kind of personality. My dad is from North Jersey originally. And I do feel like there's a bit of a bite to her. Like, and you see it at the tribal council when Ben drops the Ben bomb. She gets so mad at that.
Yeah.
And there's, I understand being frustrated by it, but getting mad like that in front of the jury is the worst thing you can do. Because at that point, the jury is rooting for Ben to get the better of you. So if you start doing that, that's no good for you. So I do think age played some sort of role in it. But at the same time, like Ben was 34, I think. I think Lauren Rimmer was 35, 36. Like she was 46. Her initial starting tribe might have been tough for her. But I think as the game went on, I don't feel like age really was as much of an impact as she's saying. Her closest ally was Ryan. And she can say that she had to be going to Ryan. But that was her closest ally the entire season. And that's even on display here. Devin has to come to that side because he knows that Ryan and Chrissy are never going to break up. And Dr. Mike so badly wants to stay in this middle position. Devin realizes he actually can retake the middle position by making Dr. Mike and Ben team up, Chrissy and Ryan team up, get rid of Ashley. And it makes sense. So here we are actually talking about Devin as a little bit more of a player, but it is ultimately Chrissy's decision to get rid of Ashley in this episode if it can't be Ben. So I feel like there's a lot of layers to this, but I do think that the age thing, it's a little bit of an excuse. I get where it comes from, but like Bob Crowley won and so did Gabler years later, and Denise had just won not too long before.
Listen,
this.
I'm just saying what Chrissy said in the interview.
And so, I'm just saying, look, I am excited that Chrissy is back. I really am. I think that Chrissy as the runner-ups, I'm shocked that Dom isn't also there. I feel like Dom and Chrissy were 1-2 for runner-ups who deserve to be out there playing a second time. They played great games. They played strong games. They're aggressive players. And that's the kind of thing we want on the show. I'm just saying, I don't think that it was, I think she's, you know, a little bit of an excuse there. That's all I'm saying. So let's talk about this episode and let's just, you know, dive in here. So they're coming back. Ben had done it. Lauren is out of the game with a 1-0 vote. So now everybody's scared of him. There's a quote there saying Cliff, he plays with a ferocity that transcends the game. Such a great line. I think it comes from a Dr. Mike, I think. So now they're all on their heels. How are we going to get rid of Ben? What are we going to do? We got to get Ben out of this game. How are we going to move forward? And Chrissy really does start to take the reins and say, I think we should get rid of Ashley. I think it should be her. She should be the next person. And in this episode, we see Chrissy win 2 challenges. We see her go head to head with her biggest adversary, which is Ben. And we see her control her alliance to the point where they do end up deciding all of them vote for Ashley in this episode. Mm-hmm. Every single person there except for Ashley votes for Ashley, which I always find interesting that even Ben votes that way and Devin votes that way. Like they all go that way. So I really enjoy this episode, and I actually do think it did a good job of highlighting Chrissy. I don't know if there's a better episode you could have chosen. Like episode 1's probably the best episode to show for her, but at the same time, why are we going to watch the premiere of HHH when we just watched the premiere of Heroes Villains? Like you can't do
that. Yeah. I think what did we choose, the Alley boot or the Rourke boot for her defining episode?
I think we did the Alley boot.
Okay. So
No, we didn't. We did the Rourke boot. We did the Rourke boot. Yeah, we did. Because that's when she ultimately chooses Ryan and JP and gets Ryan on her side to go against Rourke and Allie.
Mm-hmm. So that could have been another option, but we've been doing, aside from the premiere of HVV, we've been doing post-merge episodes. So I wonder if a pre-merge episode is even an option for them, or are they only looking at the post-merge? Because as Jeff has said, the real game happens in the merge.
I just think when you're, I don't know what the reasoning is. I just think that this is more exciting.
Yeah.
This has, and you have to think too, like they're trying to hype up the best moments in Survivor history. What are you looking at? Oh yeah, that's true. Jackie Gate is one of them.
And I feel like that's a big exception though.
Yeah, that is a big exception, but I do feel like you want to highlight the best of Survivor. Yeah. People never talk about the fact that Ben played the idol before the votes were cast, right? Mm-hmm. And some would say that's a stupid move because ultimately he's not giving himself any power. But also by him playing the idol beforehand, he can then say to Ashley and Devin, do you want to actually make a move? Because now's the time to do it. You know it can't be me. Let's make that move. Rather than, you know, 4-2 or some random stray vote, mm-hmm. and it going away, he doesn't want it to go. So I think that you want to highlight good moves, good gameplay. If you do the Rourke boot, Rourke is kind of a nothing character on that season. And, you know, Ryan and Allie don't really have an impact on the game in any other way. At least this one, you're showing off Ben, who does come back for Winners at War and make a really, really deep run in the game. Mm-hmm. So Ben versus Chrissy, I think Ben versus Chrissy highlights Chrissy more in the way that Survivor wants to highlight Chrissy than Chrissy versus Rourke.
Right. True. Ashley also doesn't do herself any services in this episode either to not be the one getting the boot here, because she makes the comment on the reward after Devin and Chrissy win of like, oh, like essentially we know who wears the pants because Ryan went on the reward, even though Devin and Ashley are buddies, but Ryan and Devin are also friends and Ryan is aligned with Chrissy, but apparently that's not what she meant. According to Tribal Council, she didn't mean it in the way that Chrissy took it. But I also do not understand what other way you could mean that comment.
I agree with you that there's no other way she could have meant this, right? It has to be, okay, so Chrissy's making the choices and she's saying, no, you guys made the choice together. Yeah, that's Monday morning quarterbacking. However, again, why is Chrissy getting so mad at this? You know, and in front of the jury, you know, this... Chrissy always gets talked about. People always say Chrissy should have won. Chrissy was robbed, blah, blah, blah. I think Devin probably beats Chrissy at Final Tribal if Devin gets there. I really do.
Yes.
And a lot of people say, well, that's just because Chrissy's a woman, or, you know, that's the jury wasn't respectful of her game and this, that, whatever. I think that all of Chrissy's mistakes were in her social game. And I don't think that that's because she's an unlikable person. I've met Chrissy. She's a very likable person. Everybody in the community seems to get along with her in the real world. I just think on her season, there are things that there's times you have to bite your tongue. And Chrissy has a hard time biting her tongue. Now, I know she is biting her tongue out there, but there's times where you got to just let it roll off your back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this episode shows that she couldn't do that. She jumps down Ashley's throat. She jumps all over Ben when he drops the Ben bomb. It's hard to then turn around and get those votes because you're doing this in front of the jury. The jury is now making a mental note of, do we really want Chrissy to win this game? All of her mistakes came in the social aspect of it. She doesn't make strategic mistakes. She doesn't make, you know, challenge mistakes. She's one of the best female challenge performers in the history of the show. However, she has the record there, right? Tied with 4. Mm-hmm. But it's all the social stuff. The social stuff gets rough for her.
Yeah. And I'm glad that this episode didn't show her making that fake immunity idol and showing that off too, because that's also like a knock, being like, ha ha, I have it, you don't, stop looking, even though Ben already has it. But it does show Ben in this episode just wanting to win more, because he is up at the crack of dawn looking for idols. And I wonder if Ben's gameplay in HHH is gonna bleed into Chrissy's 50 of like, the early bird gets the worm. And if you want an idol, you have to just get up and go for it and not sleep in, wait in the shelter, see if someone tells you if they have the idol. If there is someone clearly on the bottom of your tribe, you have to wake up before them and get the idol.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Mike is saying there's no way he's going to go find this. There's no way he's going to do it. Ben won't find another one. I don't even have to follow him around. Why? What else are you doing?
Once
just
you
follow
know,
him everywhere.
Once you know how to find one, it makes it a lot easier to find another.
Yeah, I know. I know. And that's what we always talk about with the show is that once you find one, then you know where to look. You know kind of what the cameras are going to do. You know what's happening. And Ben finds a box. I forget that everybody always talks about, and we were talking about this, I think, in the hot takes, where it's like Russell is pretty much the one who changes the game by finding idols without clues.
Mm-hmm.
Most people still find idols with clues after that point. It really isn't until the late 30s that this happens. Like Ben has the arrow pointing down. And before that, I forget what the one before that is, but it's also one where he finds it with a clue. So there is still a lot of idol finding that's happening with clues at this point in Survivor history. And so Ben gets to go find it. Like, again, what else is there to do? Just follow him around. And I think back to Andrea with Malcolm, probably her best move she ever had, just sitting there. Sorry. If you want to look, look. If you're not going to look, don't look. But I'm going to sit here the entire time and there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't get why everybody wouldn't do that. So, yeah, I would be interested, especially with – I know Chrissy stays up with the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if Chrissy is staying up with the game and she knows how important advantages are in the new era of Survivor. I mean, is the last winner who never touched an advantage or won an immunity still Tommy? I don't know if that's completely accurate or not, but it's like you have to be so involved in this game with
advantage. Would the hourglass count?
Yeah, the hour, 100%. That's the biggest advantage in the history of the game. She put herself in the jury.
Okay, but she was forced into that, though.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's still an advantage. I mean, she got the advantage. I mean, and that's the biggest advantage you can ask for.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, I think Chrissy knows enough that you do have to be going out. I think it's a good point that she's probably going to learn from that.
Either she just has to wake up and see who goes out if she doesn't want to get caught being like the one that's getting up early to go and look. Like she could just wake up early and see if someone else goes out and be like, oh, I'll walk to the well with you, no problem. Mm-hmm. And then knows what's up. Like even if she doesn't want to be the one getting caught for searching for idols, she could just wake up early and see what's going on around camp, because Ben makes a whole fire and then goes out looking.
Yeah,
because they're out of firewood, so he's going to use that as his excuse.
Well, another thing that's hurting is what this episode takes place on day 35 and 36. The beauty of Survivor 50 is that you're only going 26 days. You're going to be a lot less tired. I know that Chrissy's obviously older. She's in her mid-50s now. But she's going to be a lot less tired than she was on this season by that point in the game. So get up and get out there. Go do it.
Mm-hmm. But it's a faster pace, Phil. So maybe she'll still be as tired.
So this is – we have, what, one more pre-40 episode left?
I don't remember it. We have Edge, right? And is that the last one?
Is that the last one? Oh, and Dave vs. Goliath. So we have two more left.
Oh, yeah.
So seven of the episodes are going to be pre-40 and then three are going to be post-40. And after rewatching this episode and watching the others, if the old schoolers dominate, then Jeff has to be like written in his contract that he has to stop saying the new era is harder and tougher and all this. Oh, it's faster paced. Mm-hmm. This, like if the old schoolers dominate, then it has to just be acknowledged that that version is so much easier. It's far superior. And I don't know if they will dominate, but I'm just watching them on this season. And there's so much. Think about, okay, this game's not faster paced. Like you said, Ben gets up first thing in the morning, makes a fire, goes out to find the idol. They have the immunity. They have the reward challenge where they have to stay overnight. So they're separated from the rest of camp. This is the season that has the spaghetti challenge. This is all that. And they're still dealing with 39 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how the old school people are at certain points of the game and where new school people are at certain points in the game. If they are more run down because it is a faster pace and the new school guys are just like, I remember this doing this yesterday, or if they are just coming from like Denver to New York and are just like, man, this is easy. I'm running through. I've got so much breath in my lungs. So like, I don't know. That is a good question to see in 50. Yeah, and Colby is coming from 42. Cause Colby. Outback is 42 days.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Colby has played in every day iteration that we've had.
He's going to be the only player to ever do it. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have to see. I don't think it's going to affect them in a negative way at all. So AJ Consa says, I like how they didn't tell us if he got the idol until they went to tribal, nod to Amanda Kimmel. That part's really fun too. I kind of forget that. Again, Heroes, Healers, Hustlers get such a bad rap that I forget the highlights of the season. And that is a cool moment. And Devin's sitting there saying, I don't think you're going to play that. I'm still going to vote for you. I don't think you're going to play that. Almost egging him on to go and do it, to make everybody make the decision before the vote, so it can't just be a stray vote that takes somebody out. I thought that was a really cool moment. And Ben, I feel like I already said it, it could be seen as a really bad move to some people, but I think it's not the worst move because you're trying to take control and say, hey, if you guys want to work with me now, you know I'm safe. You know Chrissy's safe. Like, make your move now. But, you know, I think that Devin plays this really, really, really well as well. And maybe Devin's somebody who needs to be, you know, on some short list or something coming up.
I think he should be. A lot of people were talking about Devin for a returnee season in the later half of the 30s, but we just never got to it because Winners at War was what it was. It was Winners at War. So like these people didn't have the opportunity to come back, and then they didn't do what they, I mean, maybe should have done of like throwing in a returnee season in the 40s to make it a little less pressure off of 50. And I know they didn't know that it was going to be 50. At the time of the early 40s, but I feel like 44 is a perfect time to do like a Game Changers where they put in a cast of people that you get to see them play again and you're happy, and it's not this monumental season that you're let down with some of the cast.
Yeah, I know a lot of people in the comments are saying Devin said he'd only play Blood versus Water. I remember that after the season ended, but I'm pretty sure if they called him, there's a chance he'd go back out. I mean, at this point, I don't know what Devin Pinto's up to, but that's what people say right after because they're hoping it's going to happen. And honestly, I think a Blood versus Water season should happen again. I hope one does take place. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there. But I'm trying to look through the chat here. Let's see. We got Hi, Rodi Garcia. Also, Chrissy not going to work with Rizgot in Survivor 50 because they remember that Ryan from Survivor 35 would have beat her. I mean, even that, whatever it is, it's just, do you think that Chrissy's going to be looking to play with somebody like Ryan? Would Rizgot fit that role for her? Does she want to play differently?
I think in a sense he would, because he's like visually the archetype, but And like the red shirt, it kind of dark hair. Like, I think it all like kind
New York.
Yeah, there you go. But I don't think their game styles align. I think Rizzo is a lot more outlandish and a lot less like, let's talk, reason things out, and then go and do. Where I think that's what Ryan was like with Devin and with Chrissy, where he was like a little bit more logical, where Rizzo does have a lot of strategy to him. But because of the character of Rizzo, I think that overshadows. Like, no one's talking about Ryan as the biggest character on the island.
Well, which is funny because he was cast to be a character. He was cast almost to be like a Cochrane, a strategic character. He plays a very straightforward game.
Mm-hmm.
A very good third place
game. Yeah, it's definitely not a bad game. It's just like he doesn't jump out of my screen like his heart is jumping through his chest in certain challenges. But like he and Rizzo just like don't feel the same. I don't think Chrissy would align with him because I feel like the 49ers are just on the outs because they just played and nobody knows. Nobody had the little like snippet besides the preview. Nobody saw like half of the season and is just like, oh, I got a sense of what's going on here.
Yeah. And then Dan Clippo brings up also Dalton Ross said Angelina openly admitted to him that she and Chrissy pregame together. Chrissy says they didn't. And that's why when people are saying, like Daryl says, Chrissy said she doesn't want to work with another Ryan type. I don't believe anything Chrissy is saying in her pregame. I don't. I just straight up don't. I think she's, you know, whoever's
purposely misleading us.
Yeah. Ultimately, whoever's going to be willing to work with Chrissy, Chrissy's probably going to say, sure, let's try to make this happen. I mean, I don't think Chrissy's going to be overly choosy. I don't think she's in a position to be overly choosy. I think that, you know, like you said, this cast skews a little bit older, so it fits more into her wheelhouse. But I mean, it's not like she has nobody else from her season, nobody else that she's played with. Like, I don't think she's in a position to be choosy. I think she's got to kind of go where the tide goes early on.
I think she also said, I don't want to make like loyal one-on-one alliances. I want to be a little bit more open, because she was locked into her certain people, like JP, like Ryan, and later on Devin. So maybe trying to be a bit more of a fluid, open player will really advance Chrissy's game, because she is so stuck to sides in HHH. What if she and Ben aligned on certain things of like, all right, why are we against each other? We're the two biggest threats here, aside from Devin, but like, we're the two biggest like faces here. Let's work together, vote out the other guys. And that's when Chrissy can then make her move against Ben later on, after nobody will suspect us teaming back up.
So here is my question after watching the Survivor Devil. Will Chrissy be able to work with people she doesn't like?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that she is able to evolve her strategy from the first time, knowing that I was not able to get this done because of X, Y, and Z. There's been time. I've evolved as a person. And let's just play the game for what it is. I'll take what the game throws at me and then maneuver around it, rather than I will be the brick wall for the game and I will, you know, force things my way or the highway.
Yeah, I'm so worried, because that, I think, you know, I talked about her social whatever, and then you were talking about the different, you know, who she might align with and what she's doing this episode. I think that might be her biggest obstacle to overcome. Mm-hmm. I think Chrissy, you know, like I was saying, she gets mad at the people, and she does take things personally.
Yeah.
And now she's 10 years older. Is she going to take things less personally? I just have a hard time believing that. So yeah. I think that's going to be the hardest thing for her. If she gets out there, who's on her starting tribe? What's Chrissy's starting tribe? I'd know the starting tribes by this point, but I just can't remember them. More.
So many people and three tribes.
I know. So Chrissy is on with Jonathan, Mike White, Coach, Charlie, Camilla, Tiffany. She's probably not losing, but if she does lose, I don't think she's getting along with Jonathan. Can she play with Jonathan? I don't know. I don't know if she's going to get along with, honestly, Coach. Can she play with Coach? I don't know.
I think she could play with Jonathan, because I think Jonathan is pretty close to a JP strategy-wise.
Yes, but Jonathan is much more opinionated than JP.
That's true.
I mean, Jonathan had the moment at Tribal where he was like, I'm not like sexist or race, whatever it was that he said. Like, Jonathan's not going to take shit. And JP was just there. And JP didn't really do anything.
Yeah, I just don't see Jonathan as a strategic player. So I could see Jonathan looking to Chrissy as a strategic player to do the strategic part for him, even though, yes, he is opinionated and is just like, no, this person is going to go home. But if Chrissy could maybe tame that a little bit that Lindsay wasn't able to do with Jonathan, then maybe they could be a good working duo, because she does know how to like work with a muscle guy.
Well, so let's ask this then. If Ben doesn't play the idol, do you think Ashley still goes home? Like, do you think Chrissy was still going to vote for Ashley? Because she was so wanting to vote for Ashley.
That's a great question. Because she is so emotional, I could see her just being like, this is your one get out of jail free card, Ben. We're still voting for Ashley.
Right? I feel like because of the threat of the idol and everything, I think Ashley was probably going to go home. Or at least Chrissy was going to want her to go home. And this episode definitely showed how Chrissy wants to be in control. Chrissy mm-hmm. doesn't want to be second fiddle to anybody. She's not going to be the one taking orders. And when you look at that tribe that she's on, she's actually with a lot of people who are okay playing second fiddle. Like, Charlie was in a strong pair. Jonathan pretty much played second fiddle. Mike White did. Camilla and Kyle were in a strong pair, kind of making decisions together.
That's Coach's whole game that he wants to do this season is play second fiddle and not call the shots.
And what were the other two women who were? Oh, D won't play second fiddle. So that could be one. Somebody in here said that you could see her and D working together. After I just said all that, unless her and D are going to come out and play an aggressive game together as like this badass female alpha alliance, I don't know if her and D would get along very well.
Yeah.
And then who was the last person I said?
I don't know. They went in one ear and out the other. You're
supposed to be listening. Yeah, hang on.
When you talk sometimes, you know.
Tiffany would play. I mean, Tiffany was a leader, but Tiffany and Kenzie were kind of making decisions together. So yeah. I think Chrissy's in a pretty good spot where she played with a duo. She's saying she doesn't want to make one-on-one alliances, but she's on a tribe with a bunch of people who played in duos or took a back seat to bigger personalities and bigger players and whatever to get themselves further in the game. Jonathan and Mike White make it very far in the game. Both almost win. Neither one of them was ever in control of anything on their season.
Yeah. And this episode also shows Chrissy's challenge prowess. We know that she wins for immunities, but she also wins rewards in the season too. Like, she is a really strong competitor, and I wonder how she's going to maneuver around that, or if that title doesn't matter as much for like Chrissy, and it matters more for like Colby because it's a little bit more under the radar. I don't know. But she mentioned that she was going to potentially throw challenges. And I just don't think that's in her nature to do that. I think Chrissy is such a badass and is going to win when she's going to win. And like she did in this episode wins the reward and immunity and is like right in the spotlight for everything.
Yeah. I mean, so I think that her puzzle prowess will still be there. Do you think that the physical, cause she's still pretty good in physical.
Yeah. I think that it will be there. She said she was practicing her balance because that was one thing she was lacking in HHH. I think she's really adapting her gameplay to her new lifestyle post surgery. She has been hiking and did like a 500-mile hike in Spain with her daughter.
I did see, so, yeah, whatever that trail is called. Yeah.
So I think she will still be able to keep up with everybody. And I think people will underestimate Chrissy. And then she's going to be like, hi, I'm here. And then they're going to be like, oh crap.
Yeah. I'm curious, like mid 50s. She's doing a lot of active stuff. Can she at least just pull her own weight? Because all these challenges pretty much end in puzzles now. Mm-hmm. So if she gets to the merge, she becomes one of the most threatening people because she just has to be close, right? Mm-hmm. But early on, can she pull her own weight? And I think she will. I think she will be able to. I think she's going to have lost the step for sure. I mean, we saw it. You know, you think about with Second Chance when Terry versus Savage versus Jeremy. Like Terry's dragging ass in that challenge compared to what he was doing, you know, 9 years earlier, and he's still great, but he's dragging ass compared to what he was. I mean, he's mid-50s. Again, you're going from 46 to 55. So I do feel like Chrissy could end up in a situation where it's like nobody's necessarily looking at her physically, but she's good enough that she gets by, and then she's good enough that she's still in the challenges when you get into the post-merge that she can do the puzzle part. Because, I mean, that challenge that she ends up winning in this episode is super physical. I mean, it's a really tough puzzle, but that's a really physical challenge. And there's a lot of different elements. I mean, that's when Survivor was going all out for these late game challenges. So, I mean, she could absolutely end up, you know, even if she's lost a step, it's like everybody on the show at this point is in their 30s, with the exception of D and Rizzo. I think they're the only two younger than 30, maybe Charlie. So it's like, you have such a young cast, you have such an old cast with just very few young people. Losing a step isn't necessarily the worst thing because nobody's in their prime really on this season, with the exception of maybe Jonathan, you know?
And I also think if she pulls her weight enough, it leads for strategic vote-offs. and not necessarily challenge vote offs. If people are pulling their weight enough in the tribe challenges, it's just like, oh crap, they lost this one. Like Heroes versus Villains, they voted off Stephanie because of bad juju, because she keeps losing everything, and mm-hmm. she is a strong female competitor. So I think they could vote off a D because she's a winner, and as long as they still have Chrissy, they still could be good in challenges.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and remember, Chrissy was very close to being the first boot in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers.
Yeah.
And by the time we get the final six, I mean, she's driving all of it. She's having the conversation with everybody, and everybody's going to Chrissy in some fashion, even if not all the fashion. And she is the one, you know, even when it came to picking Ryan, you know, when Ashley says, oh, well, now I know who's making the decisions. Chrissy, even in that moment, wants to be in control. Yeah. Even there, she wants to be the one who's running it. So, I don't know. There's a lot of strong personalities on this season, obviously. You're not going to get season 50 without that. But I am very, very curious how that's going to work for Chrissy, how she's going to be able to navigate that, because her Heroes, Healers, Hustlers game, she doesn't turn it off ever. Physically, strategically, she never turns it off the entire time. And that's kind of to her detriment when it comes down to it at the end.
But what's also good is this season demonstrates her able to maneuver throughout the game, no matter her positioning in it, which is a good strategy to have going into a returning player season, because we see Wentworth in EOE. She's at the top a lot of the time, and she doesn't know how to play the top because she's always been scrapping from the bottom. Mm-hmm. So Chrissy has had such a dynamic shift in power throughout the season, where she has a taste of being at the bottom, has a taste of being at the top, has a taste of getting blindsided, but then how do I change that for the next vote and voting out someone that I want gone, no matter what another person does in the game with this Ashley boot.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Because, you know, everybody always says, oh, you're the victim of blindside. As long as you don't go home, you're not the victim of a blindside. Mm-hmm. Like, you still have a shot. And Chrissy did have that happen to her a couple times. I mean, that's Heroes, Healers, Hustlers has some really dynamic gameplay. It's just advantage, get in heavy. But really, that was the fault of Game Changers more than anything. So, all right. Anything else about this episode that you want to say?
I think I'm good.
Good, because that was a long week of podcasting. McKenna did 2 hours tonight celebrating Survivor seasons 31 through 40. This is my 18th episode podcasting, including Patreon stuff. So I'm ready to be done. So yeah, let's move on. We got 5 episodes left of Road to 50. We'll be back again on Monday night talking about awkward. No, Jackets and Eggs. We're talking about Jackets and Eggs. Tuesday is awkward. So Monday night, Jackets and Eggs. I think that's the only podcast we have planned for that night. So unless something else happens, that's all that's there. So
I think get ready, everybody. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are our overlaps with 50 biggest moves, traitors coverage, and then our last celebrating Survivor.
I am going to be putting out a boot order video though for this season. So that'll be coming out early. That'll be coming out early next week, but that's one where Blake has to work, which is rare. So that's good.
I love when you make Blake edit things instead.
Isn't it the best? I know McKenna, by the way, everybody, McKenna, not only was she doing all these podcasts, McKenna also edited all of the hot takes things that we have on our social media right now. So she's done a great job, and she's earning her keep. We're getting ready. We're trying to make some cuts before 50. We're trying to figure out who to cut. McKenna was on the chopping block, but I guess we'll let her stick around for at least another month.
Will couldn't turn on his camera today, so maybe that gives him a knock.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's a StreamYard issue. I know that people, I got roasted in another podcast in a comment where somebody was like, when's Phil going to get a new setup? Look, there's some things like when the camera cuts out, it's telling Will his camera's unplugged, but he's got a laptop. And that's what happened to me. We'd start episodes. I'd hit start. Me and Will would be talking just like this. I was going to hit start. My camera turns off. Now, I at least have a webcam so I can unplug it, do whatever, refresh and figure it out. But like, well, that's a software issue. Because if that's happening in Los Angeles on a laptop on an Apple, and that's happening on a webcam in Florida on a Windows, that's a software issue. So poor Will. Poor Will. Don't take the heat off yourself, though. But yeah, so Monday night, we'll be back. And that one will be right after the episode, because we can actually do that Monday and Tuesday, where we'll do them right after the episode.
So 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Woohoo. I know, only 2 more 1-hour episodes left. I know. Sad. Scary. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. Like this video. Become a patron. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Don't forget to sign up for the fantasy game. If you want to do the fantasy game, top tier patrons can participate in the fantasy game. Otherwise, that's it. We'll see you next time.
Bye.